Welcome to the .com Magazine Entrepreneur Spotlight Series, where your host, Andy Jacob, interviews leading entrepreneurs, founders, and CEOs about their incredible companies and discusses their unique entrepreneurial journeys. If you're the CEO or founder of an exciting and exceptional company, the editorial team of .com Magazine welcomes you to pitch your business story to appear on this exciting interview series by reaching out to Mr. Jacob at .com Magazine at .commagazine.com. And without further ado, here is another amazing entrepreneurial story on the .com Magazine Entrepreneur Spotlight Series.
Good afternoon, everyone. Andy Jacob here with the .com Magazine Entrepreneur Spotlight Series. I have a very fascinating show today, a very interesting entrepreneurial journey, which really is a very personal journey for the founder of Big Vision. And her name is Miss Eve Goldberg. I'm so honored to have Eve on the show today. It's very, very interesting what she's done to turn something in her life that was very, very challenging and heartbreaking into something that has become really a movement and something that she is very proud of and the entire community is very proud of in Big Vision. We're going to talk about it. And this is a show that I think you're going to want to listen to all the way through because there's so much to learn from Eve on how to overcome adversity, how to move forward in your life when you face tragedy, and how to turn sort of things into a positivity bias the best that you can, which is what Eve has done. So Eve, thank you so much for coming on the .com Magazine Entrepreneur Spotlight Series today.
Thank you for having me. I'm honored to be here.
Well, thank you, Eve. And you know, when I think about your story, I get a little choked up. But for the people that maybe don't know about Big Vision, let's pull the lens back to 30,000 feet. Tell them the story, and then we'll get into it a little bit after you share this very, very touching and personal story of how you got started with this wonderful organization, Big Vision.
Sure. So, I've been in a for-profit business for the past 35 years, a family-owned business, a luxury business, nothing to do with nonprofit at all, although I was always, I was brought up by, my parents were always very, very charitable, and there was a lot of giving back in our life, so I always learned that. But I never thought that I would start a foundation. It was never in my in my plans for sure. So 7 years ago, I lost my son Isaac to an accidental drug overdose. And he was 23 years old. His name was Isaac. He was a beautiful, loving, handsome, funny, compassionate young man. It was really special. And I had two children. It was Isaac and I have my daughter Beatrice. And he struggled right after high school. He started struggling with drugs. He was a great basketball player. He was the captain of the basketball team in high school. He was, loved sports, loved any, all type big Knick fan. And so he struggled. And when he went to college, it just kind of went downhill very quickly. He became part of a fraternity. And if you know anything about that, it's really, as a freshman with issues to begin with, not smart, not a good place to be. But anyway, so he got into drugs there and came home. I think in his second semester, I ended up having to send him to treatment. And, seemed to be okay, went back to school, came back again. Over the next couple of years, he was in and out of treatment and, seemingly doing okay. And then he overdosed And the first time he overdosed, we were able to bring him back. Thank God, luckily. And I believe that he would never, ever try that again, because who would ever want to go through that? You know, I took pictures of him in the hospital and I showed them to him. And I was like, you do not want to do this, not for yourself. He's like, no, I'm never going to do it again. But unfortunately, if you know anything about addiction, it hijacks your brain. And it's just, it's not a simple thing to just overcome like that. So, you know, he went back to school and then came home and went back to treatment again, was living in sober living, came back to live with us. My husband and I had I had just gotten married again, and he came to live with us, and I found him unresponsive one morning. And you know, he had been doing so well, and you hear these stories very often. He had been doing really well, had a job, got a new apartment, like all these things where he never looked better, everything moving in the right direction. And then he just went down that path, and, you know, he was in a coma for 6 weeks, and the most horrific, you know, 6 weeks of my life, sitting by his bedside, praying for a miracle, even though we kind of knew there was no hope. And it's something parents should never have to experience in their life. It was the worst torture. And he passed away. We lost him. And so, you know, we're traditional Jews, and we sit Shiva for 7 days after somebody dies. And when we were sitting Shiva, I just said to everybody who came to visit, I said, I'm going to do something to make meaning out of his life. And I had no clue what I was going to do. I didn't even know what that meant. I just knew, you know, I had to do something. And everybody said to me, we'll help you. Just let us know whatever you need. So I would go back into my room, and I had this big legal pad, and I wrote down everyone's names who said they would help me. And I'm like, you know what? I've been independent my own life, my whole life. I've helped other people. I've never asked for anything. A year later, I called all those people. I said, come to my apartment. I got an idea. And that's how Big Vision was born.
If you know, obviously, you have a big vision, and Isaac, your son, you know, he battled addiction for years. You know, he had successfully completed a treatment program and was on the path to a meaningful, joyous, and sober life. And while trying to acclimate back to life as normal, you know, some things went a little sideways. You know, the fraternity, some other things happened. And unfortunately, you know, perhaps his anxiety and fear got the best of him at that point in time. And like you mentioned, you were sitting Shiva, and during this time, you know, something came to you that you wanted to make a powerful difference in the lives of other families. And this is really, really remarkable. You put down on a notepad the names of the people that said that they would help you. A year later, you brought them all into a parlor meeting at your home, and you started discussing about, you know, this situation that happened to you and how you felt about helping other people, other families, other moms and dads and aunts and uncles and brothers and sisters not have to face the same kind of difficult thing that you faced in your life. So when we think about Big Vision, what's the big picture? How do we help these young people that have these challenges? What do we do with the young people that are having these challenges? And I know you want to get them involved, like with good, positive, energetic things. And I love that about what you're doing at Big Vision, but tell us how you're able to help so many people on this road to making the Big Vision even a bigger vision.
So when I started it, you know, my vision was to create kind of a sober, like, YMCA kind of thing, where, you know, I knew for Isaac, physical activity was so important to him, and that really helped him stay sober. And so I wanted to create a place where young adults, you know, who are sober can go and just hang out and play basketball, maybe learn to become a personal trainer, have a healthy juice bar and a coffee shop, and just like a hangout that they can be there, you know, with other sober people, and just whether it's doing physical activity or just, you know, doing their schoolwork or on their computers or whatever it is, playing ping pong, didn't matter. So that was really my dream, was to create that. But I said, before I do that, let me just start by, I don't know, let's have one activity. And so, you know, I started, you know, reaching out to people that I knew who were in this world, and I knew nothing about the recovery world, nothing, nothing. I mean, why would I? It was not, you know, I'm in a business, you know, I run a diamond business. You know, this has nothing to do with addiction recovery. And it, except for Isaac, I didn't know anything about it. So anyway, so I started reaching out to people, and I did this go-karting event because I have a friend who owns like a few go-karting places. And she said, as part of my give back, I want to do this for you. And so we got a bus, and I went to all these different like sober houses and treatment facilities, and I told them what I was doing. And we had like 40 people show up. I got them on the bus. We took them to New Jersey. We went go-karting. They played video games. We gave them food. And we just talked about like, this is what we want to do. And everybody said to me, oh my God, this is what I need, you know? And you realize at the end of the day that getting sober, treatment is important. I'm not going to say treatment's not important, but the system is broken because you go to treatment, you're going to get clean. 30 days, whatever it is, 60 days, you're going to come out of there and you're going to be sober. Then what do? I mean, then they say to you, okay, you have to have a therapist, you have to go to meetings and go back to school, get a job, whatever, but they don't say to you, you got to get back to life. You have to have fun. You got to find new friends. You have to. And that was what was missing in Isaac's life, was like this connection to other people like himself. And so that's what spoke to me. And I was like, you know what? I could start, if I wanted, I could start a scholarship fund and put people into treatment. But I'm like, that's not what it speaks to me. Isaac, you know, treatment is there. And if you can find it and afford it, great, but it's what happens after. It's really maintaining your sobriety. It's really sustaining. We're all about sustaining recovery. And that is the most challenging. And today, this is, you know, 5 years since I started, it's now being recognized. It's not, there's no money in it, really. Or maybe there could be, but there never was. Treatment is a huge market. I'm sure you know that. It's a multi-billion dollar industry. And what we're doing is not. So no one really thought about it. But now people are realizing the system is broken and this is what is needed. So did I know that? I had an idea. I had no clue if this was going to work. But all these people that I speak to who are in recovery for years, they all say to me, I wish it existed when I was getting clean. So that validates what I'm doing.
Yeah, it definitely does. Even, you know, I'm thinking about it, and obviously you've been in a very successful for-profit business for many years. You know, part of being a great entrepreneur is you have to nurture your employees, you have to nurture your clients and make sure that they're all placed in the position to have a positive experience with your offering. And in this case, you know, your offering was diamonds. And I would imagine that, you know, your experience as an entrepreneur in sort of nurturing your employees and making sure that your clients had a successful experience sort of translates very well into what you're doing at Big Vision, because it sounds like you're bringing the people in and giving them an experience. And I wonder like what your for-profit entrepreneurialism did to help you prepare for this nonprofit Big Vision program that you currently have underway.
Well, I was first of all trained by my dad, who was a brilliant man, a brilliant marketer and salesman. And, you know, there is definitely, you know, when you're starting something new, there is salesmanship. I mean, I know it's a nonprofit and I know we're offering something. We're offering it for free. Our events are all for free, but you still have to sell the idea. You still have to tell people what you're doing, and you have to, you know, I worked on the website. I mean, I've worked on, you know, the website for my for-profit business for many years, updating it and you know, our social media and all of that. And it's, you know, I tell the people who work for me at Big Vision, it's like, you got to say it in the right way. It has to, you know, the messaging is so important, no matter what you're doing, whether it's for profit, nonprofit, it doesn't matter. And so that's always been so ingrained in me, is first of all, the messaging. Second of all, the brand. I mean, the brand, Big Vision is a brand. It's a brand. And you know what? No matter what I send out, no matter, you know, what, any letter that we write, any email, any Instagram, it's got to be perfect. It's got to look perfect. The messaging has to be right. And, you know, I'm not just going to like throw stuff up there. It's a lot different in my business. In the for-profit business, William Goldberg, we're a very, very high-end business. So when we put anything out there on Instagram, it's got to be perfect because people are spending a lot of money on this. It doesn't matter. It still, it relates to anything that you do. So for me, no matter what you're doing in life, first of all, you have to have a passion for it. So I have a passion for this that, you know, came from a horrific, you know, experience in my life, a loss, but it doesn't matter. I mean, it's still, I'm very passionate about big vision. I believe in what I'm doing. And I think that translates to everybody. And so there's no question that my business experience has helped me so much when it comes to this. Also, you have to spend money sometimes. You know, it's, you got to spend money in order to get your message out there. You know, I'd love to get everything for free, but honestly, it's impossible. And you don't get, when people are doing something for you for nothing, you don't get what, you know, I've had people offering, you can't ask them the way you would if you're paying somebody. I'm like, you know what? If we can't do it, let's find the right people who can do it and let's pay them. My father always taught me that. And I totally believe in that. And it pays off at the end of the day. So
I love it, Eve. It makes all the sense in the world. Such a great background and experience you have. And now you're turning it into a positivity bias to help so many other families. When we think about sort of the events that you give, maybe you could touch on, Eve, what your thoughts are with regard to people in recovery and how important it is to surround themselves with empowering, positive, healthy lifestyle people. Is that sort of part of the idea of what you're doing with the big vision at this point?
100%. It's so important, you know, who you hang out with, first of all. So whenever we plan an event, I make sure there's no bar there. So I wanted to have a bowling event and try and find a bowling alley that doesn't have a bar, and not just a bar, but like a prominent bar. When you walk in the door, like it's all about the bar and it's not even about the bowling. So there's so many activities. The first time we planned, someone gave us 20 tickets to a Yankee game. And when I didn't open the tickets, they were sitting in an envelope and we got all these people to commit to go. And when it was time to go, I opened the envelope and it was like in the Jim Beam lounge. Right. And I was like, oh, my God, I can't, like, have all these people who are just early in their recovery show up. And that's going to be the big sign on the lounge where they're going to be is, you know, this the big alcohol company. And so it was just so it was challenging. So I committed that we're, you know, whether I do a fundraiser, my fundraisers, never, there's no alcohol. I don't care if it means we're going to raise less money. I want my people to be able to show up there and feel comfortable. I don't want any triggers for them. So number one, any activity has to be without triggers. And you want, you know, as many people, I mean, all the people that come obviously are sober or, you know, in recovery. And so we see like people make connections, you know, people will walk into the room and remember seeing somebody before, or they saw them in a meeting, they met them in a meeting. And there's this immediate connection because no matter where they come from, and we have people who are living in sober living, that's $20,000 a month. And then we have guys that are previously incarcerated that are living in places that they're paid for by the government or whatever, the courts. And they get together, you wouldn't know the difference. And they're all grateful to be there and they all have this connection. And to me, that is like, I love that. I love to see everybody just coming together and they're just grateful for it because it's really hard to, when you have downtime, like, what are you going to do? All your friends are going out drinking, they're getting high. You know what it's like when you're in your 20s or whatever it is. Unfortunately, you go to you have a job and, you know, you go to, at the end of the day, I remember going to a WeWork space one time to look at it. And at the end of the day, they had a huge keg there, you know, and I was like, even there's no, it's very hard to find a really safe, non-triggering place. So that's what we really are offering. And yeah. It's very, very helpful. And I believe it really saves people's lives and it keeps them on a good path. And then, you know what? Relapse is part of this disease. There are people that relapse, but you know what? We say to them, come back. You know, when you get back on a good path, you need 48 hours of sobriety and you can come back. No shame in it. It's just part of it, unfortunately.
Yeah, it makes all the sense in the world, Eve. And, you know, in my personal, in my wife and I's, my personal life, we know parents who have lost children. And more than we care to think about, to be quite frank. So what do you say to a parent who has a child where the child's having a tough time with addiction? How do we get the people that are having these tough times with addiction, how do we get them on the right path? Are there some sort of big ideas that Big Vision has or you have after going through what you've gone through with Isaac that maybe might resonate for some of the viewers that maybe have a child or a loved one or a relative going through addiction right now?
Yeah, it's I wish there was one simple answer, you know, like, oh, do this and you'll be fine, you know, do this and that they'll be cured. But obviously, communication with your children, I feel, is so important. They have to be able to tell you what's going on. They have to feel like that the communications are open and anything that's going on, they don't have to be ashamed of, and they're not going to be judged by it. To me, that is very, very important. That's like the key, number one. Well, you know, there's so little that you can control. Your kids go to school, they meet certain friends. I mean, obviously you want to encourage them to, you know, hang out with the right people, but unfortunately that doesn't always work. To me, like, the communication is really key. And if you see an issue, a lot of times, you know, hopefully you can talk to a friend of theirs and see if they have a little bit more, you know, if they see what's going on, if they have a little bit more information, you know. And I think, you know, with parents, I mean, I'm not talking about, because we really are talking more to like 18 to 30 year olds, let's say. So most of them are really out of the house. So I think I tell parents all the time, number one, you got to take care of yourself. You know, because if a kid is really struggling with this, very often they have to find their way, and there's not that much that you can do, unfortunately, about it. But you got to take care of yourself. You know, I went to Al-Anon meetings for years, and that really helped me, you know, get through it. You know, I'm trying to think, what else would I give them as advice? Obviously, you know what? Also, don't get high with your kids. I know it sounds crazy, but there's a lot of parents who like let their kids drink when they're very young and, you know, are okay with them getting high in the house and whatever. And they think that that's cool. You want to be a cool parent. You know what? Be a cool parent just by being open and letting your kids feel they can come talk to you, but not by, like, you know, sharing drugs or drinking with them, whatever. It's just, it's not cool, because young brains are different than ours, you know, as parents, even though I'm not saying that we should be doing any of that, but, you know, it's different when you're in your 40s and 50s, whatever, than it is when you're in your 20s, when your brain is still developing.
That makes sense, Eve. And obviously, drug addiction, it knows no bounds. It knows no socioeconomic bounds, has no racial bounds, has no, you know, financial boundaries. There's no boundaries at all. It can happen to anyone at any time. And it certainly is something that people like you and at Big Vision are definitely trying to make an impact in, helping so many others, which is really wonderful. You know, something that's interesting, Eve, that I think about, and I wanted to talk to you about this, was, you know, the name of our show and the name of our magazine is .com Magazine. And, you know, with social media and what's happening online, it can be a very dark place. It can be a very wonderful, beautiful place that brings a lot of light into the world as well. But certainly there's some areas where darkness can creep in, especially on social media. And sometimes the younger people, if they get hit on social with some dark posts, you know, people being negative, that can sort of spiral them out a little bit. So I would imagine that the internet, while it's wonderful to be able to have great conversations like this to help powerfully impact people and make a difference, that you've probably seen throughout your career since starting Big Vision, that the internet can also be a place that can be a negative impact for younger people as well. Would you think that's probably a true statement at this point?
100%. I mean, the problem with social media is that everybody's life looks perfect. That's the problem. You look on there and it's like, oh my God, you know, she looks so happy, you know, and then you hear the next day that this person, you know, whatever, you know, something horrible, you know, happened to them. They, you know, committed suicide. And it's like, oh, they look so happy. I got to tell you, you know, that's the problem, is that when you're looking on social media, everybody only portrays like this, you know, perfection. Life is great and everybody's so happy. And it makes people feel bad about themselves, unfortunately. And especially when you don't, when you feel bad about yourselves, like Isaac, if you looked at him, he was this, you know, very tall, handsome, like he had everything going for him, but he didn't love himself, you know, and that was, and when you don't love yourself and then you look at other people and you feel like, oh, they got it going on, like everything is perfect with them, it's very difficult. So, you know, I mean, we keep like on our social media, we keep it obviously very positive, very, you know, like for instance, this weekend coming up, July 4th weekend. So we put tips in there for both two things. We put tips in there for people who are trying to stay sober. Like, what do you do if you go to a party? You know, how do you like protect yourself? And then we put tips in there for the person making the party saying, you know what? Be aware that you may have people coming to your party who don't want to get drunk, who don't want to be drinking. So make sure that you have some options, some good options for them. Not like, oh, here's a glass of water. You know, make it more interesting for them. So this, you know, and we have to really show people that being sober doesn't mean boring. It means you can have an exciting, fulfilling life. Actually, I always say, and then you wake up the next day and you actually remember what you did, who you did it with. And it's a beautiful feeling not waking up with a hangover. And there's a lot of celebrities and just like, you know, people out there who are recognizing that nothing really, I keep reading these articles now. Like if you see like in New York City now, we have like all these, you know, issues, crime on the street and everything. Most of it is drug related or people drinking too much. That's when people act out. Nothing good comes from it. At the end of the day, like there's just nothing. I'm sorry. And I really feel like it's on these beverage companies, these alcohol companies. And, you know, I mean, it's the government and, you know, something's got to be done. The school, I mean, schools, we really have to like show people that, you know, show them examples of people who are in recovery, who are successful and smart and cool. And I mean, there's got to be a cool factor if you want to get kids, you know, to be involved, has got to be a cool factor. And that's like kind of what we do. We just did the other day, we do it like a couple of times a year. We do this trapeze school and it's amazing. People get up on this, they have to climb up, they go on the trapeze and, you know, it's like they're blown away. It's something they would never try in their life. They're doing it with, you know, no substances, doing with other people who are not using. And it's just like this awesome feeling. And, you know, you just have to, this, we're always trying to show people, there's all this great stuff you can do in this, like in New York City, it's like this amazing city. There's all this stuff you can do and you can do it without substances. And trust me, it's a hell of a lot better. Just give it a try. You know, like we're doing something now, we're doing a, you know, a sober challenge for a month. So for all those people out there, like give it a try, see what it feels like not to drink for a month.
I love it. I love it. It's so, so passionate. It comes from the heart. It comes from a place that's beautiful. And it's really apparent that you really care about the people that are part of it. You care about the people that are coming to the Big Vision events and you want what's best for them. And you want them to get on the road to the right path and teach them the right way so that, you know, their mother or father don't have to go through the same type of pain that you went through with your son. So it's really amazing. How can people watching the show help or become part of Big Vision?
Well, look at our website, bigvision.nyc, Big Vision NYC on Instagram, Facebook. Certainly we can always use donations because that's how we survive. We don't charge for our events. Our events are all free. And anybody who has, let's say, you know, if you have a great, I mean, we're doing this in New York right now, but I've had a lot of interest from people who want to start it in LA and, you know, in different parts of Florida, Massachusetts. You know, we're getting to the point now where like, we're ready to like branch out and have Big Vision all throughout the country. We're getting there. And I mean, up until a year ago, I didn't really have an executive director and I was able to hire an executive director. I have a wonderful board. Like, you know, I gotta be honest, at the first, when I first started this, I had no idea where this was going. I mean, you know, I felt pretty confident in myself, but I don't know anything about a nonprofit and this is a world I knew nothing about. So I didn't really know that it was going to be as successful as it is or as needed as it is. And so I have a great team now. So like we're now ready to like go to the next level. That's, you know, it's 5 years in, we're ready for that. So, you know, if you're in another city and this is something that would be interesting for you and you want to start something, reach out to us. You know, if you have a great, you know, product that you can offer us, you know, we have Arizona Tea, which is a sponsor, and they give us, you know, all of our drinks, our non-alcoholic drinks, which we serve at events and everything. Or if you have a great talent that you want to share, you know, let us know. We, you know, the more people that are coming, and I have to tell you, unfortunately, like you said, I know so many people now who've lost children. So many of them have gotten involved with us, and it really helps them. I have them on my board, on my advisory board, and just have become friends. Sadly, we all share this common bond. We're all part of this very horrible, you know, group that, you know, nobody wants to be a member of, but we support each other and we're just like, you know, we're there for each other. We all get it. And, you know, that's really the bottom line. I agree. I want to just help people. At the end of the day, that's really all I want to do with Big Vision. Is I don't want any more parents to have to suffer the loss that I suffered. And I want these, you know, these kids to understand that, like, you can have an amazing, amazing life, you know, just because you went to treatment, just because you have an addiction, just because whatever it is, it's fine. You can have a great life. And it takes work. It's not simple. But to me, this is a very, very key element. It's the lifestyle. It's sustaining your recovery. It's not just getting there. You can do. It's keeping it going. And we just want to help in any way that we can. That's really the bottom line.
I love it, Eve. It makes all the sense in the world. And obviously, if you're watching the show and you have a venue or you have a interesting activity or something that the Big Vision can bring people to, please reach out to Eve and share your idea or your thoughts with her. I'm sure she would be delighted to hear from you. I have to tell you, Eve, it's you know, we're called the .com magazine Entrepreneur Spotlight Series. And yes, you're an entrepreneur. Obviously, you've been an entrepreneur in your for-profit business, but the nonprofit space really is entrepreneurial as well. So before we go today, I want to ask one final question is, for entrepreneurs that are watching the show that maybe are facing a challenge, and certainly not the magnitude of the challenge that you had with your son, but they're facing a business challenge and maybe they're facing a pothole or a wall or a roadblock, what advice can you give to them to get through those challenges and come out on the other side, you know, in an empowering way?
Well, for me, the key is always like worry about today, first of all. I mean, because of when I lost Isaac, I realized now that who the hell knows what tomorrow is going to bring. You know, we don't know if we're going to be here. We don't know if we're going to lose everything we have. You know, we know nothing at the end of the day. We don't have any control. But first of all, passion, to me, that's what I learned from my father. Be passionate about what you do and just keep moving forward. Even if it's just one step at a time, you have to just keep moving forward. And don't, someone gave me a great little plaque. It says, don't look back. You're not going that way. And to me, I love that. I look at that all the time. And it's like, yeah, I mean, you're going to look back and go, oh, I should have done it this way. I could have done that. I could have done that. Nope. Start from now. Okay, today is what we have. Let's see where we are. Let's see how we can get to the next level and let's see how we can move forward, because that is all. Don't look back. Don't regret. Don't, you know, think about how you could have done things. My sister and I always say, we don't want to say, I could have. Forget that. It's not I could have, I should have, or anything. It's like, okay, this is what I'm going to do today. And, you know, I have a goal and I'm going to get there. But, you know, one step at a time, one day at a time. That's what they always said in Al-Anon. And that's really one day at a time is the best that we can do.
I hear you, Abe. And you're so inspirational and you're wonderful to listen to. You're wonderful to hear about the story and how you can take something that happened like that with Isaac and move it in a direction to not only honor him, but honor all the other people that have been affected and impacted by an accidental drug overdose or a drug overdose on purpose, however you want to look at it, depending on the situation. But I have to say, you're helping so many young people, young adults in recovery in the New York City area, to learn to live a fun, meaningful, and sober life. And certainly, this is just a remarkable program that I'm quite certain is going to go, you know, nationwide, maybe even worldwide, because you have the great name, the great brand, Big Vision. And I know the Big Vision is not just isolated to New York City, because every city, every community in the United States, certainly, and most likely the world, has people that are being impacted by this addiction to drugs. And the more we can do, the better the society becomes, the better we all are able to, you know, bring a shining light into the world. So Eve, I wanted to thank you so much for coming on the .com Magazine Entrepreneur Spotlight Series today. Congratulations on Big Vision. It's been a real delight and an honor to speak with you today.
Thank you so much for having me. I really appreciate it.